night. Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoicing, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Give that guy a weekend show today, this instant. It's 4 minutes in it, but he has to sing everything. Commercials, intros, outros, bumpers, jingles, liners, legal IDs. He's got to sing everything. It's 4 minutes, 28 seconds. That's 4 minutes. It's about 3 miles down the road. It's about 4 minutes. 26 seconds after the hour of 11. In this, the month of December, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by. It is Friday, and welcome to Day 12. It is the Rick Emerson radio program, live from the plushly appointed and germ-laden studios of AM 970. Solid State Radio. Here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, in the Coin Tower. Thank you for being there. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us electronically today with your comments, your questions, your clarifications, your conventions, your what have you. And by the way, while we're talking about the word conventions, can I just make an observation to everybody out there? It's not as though I speak fluent Yiddish, but I feel it is incumbent upon me, as one of the official grammar and language Nazis of the great city of Portland, Oregon, tell you that the word swag does not have a C or an H anywhere in it. It is not spelled, nor is it pronounced, swag. I don't know when it started. I don't know why people started pronouncing it that way. I don't know if there was some sort of a flawed memo that went out. The word is swag. S-W-A-G. It is not a German word. It is not a Yiddish word. It has never been either of those. It never shall be. Stop pronouncing the word swag. It's just wrong. In any event, That was a little unnerving. Let's all sit.
That happened three times at my house, so the power went out for 5 hours last night.
Fantastic. And you know, the great thing is that when the music skipped just there, we all just sat and stared at the computer for a moment, as though the glare of our gaze. Just like I stare at the wing of an airplane while I'm flying through heavy turbulence and wind shear, because I know that if I look away from the wing, it's going to fall off.
Don't you worry, the coin tower has emergency backup power.
Is that true?
I don't know. I'm hoping it is. That's what they tell the tenants.
When you sign your lease, that's what they say orally. It's not really in the agreement, but... It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. It is Friday. Oh, is that true? Is your cell phone battery dying? It's a fantastic technological day. What do you mean I sound tired? Shut your mouth,
I think
Scotty.
Scotty J might be the most tired of all.
When one approaches their twilight years, they shouldn't be painting the town red.
Yeah, in your face, Scotty J. Up your nose with a thing that goes up it. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program. That's me. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I am tired.
That is tired of Scotty J. I just talked to him. The first thing he says is, I am not a young man anymore.
Those were Scotty's first words to me in the kitchen, by the way.
Yeah.
Scotty, who came in late, incidentally, Scotty wandered in the building around 10:15, 10:20, something like that. Most of us had already been here for quite some time. Scotty's in the kitchen, and I walked in and I said, hey, Scotty J., how's it going? I'm not a young man anymore. And then he just sort of sadly moped around, started shuffling towards the kitchen, trying to make coffee. So it's fantastic. Hello, sir, and how are you today?
Good. Is swag a word, but swag's not?
See, you understand that on your cell phone, I can't tell the difference between what you just said there.
You were talking about swag.
It's not swag.
I know, it's swag.
Swag. Yeah, there is swag. S-C-H-W-A-G is not a word.
Who calls it swag?
I don't know. It's one of those things that people just decided that it would somehow... Either that it would sound cooler, or they just... Somebody mispronounced it somewhere, and then it just spread like hantavirus. It is... Swag is not a word. And this isn't even like how signs somehow became signage. It used to be, in radio station lingo, it used to be, hey, so are we going to have signs up at the event? And then over the last 10 years, it became, hey, do we have signage at the event? You don't say, hey, are we going to have footage at this buffet I'm going to? At this store I'm going to? Do they have clothage that I can buy? Signage is a stupid goddamn word that's just been made up and is disseminated through our culture like some sort of virus.
Walmart's fault.
I'm just saying.
That's when I first heard the term signage when I worked for Walmart. We had to put up the signage.
Yeah, it just bugs me. In any event, and Scotty's saying anything with age on it sounds funny. Really? You're funny, Scotty. You got a lot of age on you. Yeah, tell me I'm tired. Tell me my wit isn't razor sharp today. All right. Is your cell phone battery dying today?
It is, because normally I plug it in at night, but there's that whole no power to charge the cell phone.
I don't understand why this thing about the number. Sarah, can you sweeten my microphone just a little bit? My voice is, I am not in the most stellar of voice today. The hell was I saying? I had no power problems last night, to the best of my knowledge. I don't think the power was out. It was the power out where you were, Sarah?
Uh-uh.
I know it was out on the
suburbs. Right down the block from us, though.
Certainly was.
And how's it feel now?
I sat down to enjoy a good book.
Mr. Comfy Suburban Living.
Stretched out on my custom-made couch.
I thought in the suburbs you guys would have your own secret power station, though. Like your own hidden nuclear reactor, so you guys could continue to have, you know, everybody out there in the suburbs. Because Scotty's the same thing. So all you guys could continue to be toasty warm while we in the city froze and starved.
I thought they just kept minorities on treadmills in their basements. to just kind of crank up the power.
That's Aaron Duran who believes that to be true. The Rick Emerson Show does not believe that the suburbs have minorities on treadmills in their basements.
They're only in the gardens.
But bam!
They're paid competitive wages. That is the work that they enjoy doing.
That's right.
Not that there are other things available to... We don't have any slaughterhouses in the Portland suburbs. We do have large green spaces and park space.
Pigs is so much better than gutting pigs. I could run in Senior Riley's basement all day.
Well, they got plenty of work today, let me tell you.
Senior Riley is better than the Federalis.
Hello, and welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. CBS Radio is pleased as punch and proud as a papa that they have employed this very fine radio.
I could go all day.
Okay.
I have a dead cell phone.
I think you should have to do everything in that voice. You should have to do the entire Die Hard commentary this weekend as the Frito Bandito.
Don't tempt me.
Yippee-ki-yay.
All right.
Or it's a new metal band, the Dead Cell Phone.
Come on to the coast, get together, we'll have a few laughs.
All right.
I make the feast with my toes. I gotta stop.
You have to stop. Here's the thing about speaking in that accent. It's like referring to oneself in the third person. You do it for grins, and then you realize you're doing it all the time. I had to, and then I know your phone's next, so we'll get to this stuff. But I had to record a little video yesterday. This is one of our, I don't go on. This is one of those internal videos that they said it's like to an ad agency or whatever, kind of like telling him a little bit about the station and who is Rick Emerson. And I found I had to do like three different takes because I kept referring to myself in the third person. I kept saying, hey, you know, I'm Rick Emerson from CBS Radio Portland. I'd like to tell you a little bit about blah, blah, blah. And then I kept slipping into, you know, we have, you know, Stephanie Miller mornings, Tom Likas in the afternoons. We have a midday show where Rick Emerson does an exciting panoply of it. And I said it like three times in about 15 seconds. And finally, the woman behind the camera just said, why do you keep saying Rick Emerson? And I had no, it's just because it creeps in. So you got to be careful with that.
She just admitted, because my ego is huge.
Because I am a god.
And, I should not call myself Rick Emerson.
Just lunge at the camera. All right. Let's see. What do we have? Well, today we'll talk about... Here I am doing it again. Now, that's both of us, though. I was going to say, today on the Rick Emerson program, Rick and Sarah return from 1987. Let's see.
I remember that.
I do, man, and it looked a lot better at the time than it did last night.
Oh, come on. That's as close to a time warp as we're going to get.
No, and I'm not complaining. I'm just saying.
No, it was ridiculous.
All you need is K-Rock on in the background.
I'm just saying in the actual, totally.
Like, where do those people live? What do they do?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you know, it's like, I in 1987, I was thinner, had a lot more hair, didn't have all this horrible age on my face. But it was, so we'll talk about that, about the LA Guns show last night. Are those guys still lost in the mountain? Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Lisa Goddard will join us today. She teased something yesterday, but I forget exactly what it was. I can't remember what she was teasing. It's something exciting, apparently. Jim Roop, and we have your partner, Scott Daly, from Film Fever Radio, who will join us today on the Rick Emerson Radio program. That's pretty much it at this point, my friend.
And he will be reviewing a movie?
Well, I heard he was going to see Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Excellent. Fantastic. So all men out there between the ages of like 25 and 50 are now perking up their ears for Rocky Balboa.
Going up those stairs with a walking stick.
Climbing the Philadelphia stairs with his oxygen. Oh, I just want to go the distance. Hey, did you see Rocky Balboa as well?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It made me want to go home and punch meat.
I couldn't even hear what he said. Well, never mind.
Nothing.
Moving on. It's we're gonna go home and punch meat. Anyway, so there you go. And where am I at? I'm at 2 push-ups today.
Yes.
Fantastic. All right. See, if I can get all these things done, I will have I will be in the negative column. I will have no push-ups.
Woo!
Fantastic. Well then. All right, my friend.
I will see you tomorrow.
Die Hard commentary taping, the Drunken Die Hard commentary taping at the Geek Tower?
Yeah.
All right, so at the Geek Tower tomorrow, yeah, I will be there. Excellent. All right, thank you.
Hi, man.
Thank you, senor. All right, there you go. That's Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Fantastic. 503-733-2970. Anyway, what is this? Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello. Before I get to WKRP, that song that you mentioned, you personally provided a name for a band in Corvallis that's starting up, and it's called Steve Gutenberg Bible.
Really?
Yeah. Remember that?
I don't remember saying Steve Gutenberg Bible.
Yeah, you guys talked about it. You said it would be a perfect name for a band.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and now is this your band?
No, it's just my brother goes down there, and he told me about this band starting up, and they got the name off the Rick Emerson Show.
Fantastic.
Gotta like that.
Excellent. Well done. What WKRP comment are you calling?
Well, there was some country western guy that came in and sat on the couch at the end of one of the shows.
Hoyt Axton,
and he sang, "If that cat could talk, what tales you tell about Della and the dealer."
Della and the dealer.
That's it.
But the cat was cool, and he never said a mumbling word.
Oh,
now it's all coming back to me now. Because he came from West Virginia, because Jennifer Marlowe had asked Jennifer to marry him at age 5, and then he came back to find her, and Johnny had to pretend that he was Jennifer's husband.
Obviously, I have no life.
Well, look at me, now suddenly it's a floodgate. And at the end, it turns out he just wanted a recording contract, and the closing credits play as Hoyt Axton is singing right. Della and the Dealer in the recording studio.
A dog named Jake and a cat named Kalamazoo.
You even do the little, you go down to the baritone there. And Tim was singing every word with you, by the way. Fantastic. Thank you, Kevin.
All right.
All right, there you go. Fantastic. The dealer had a knife and the dog had a gun and the cat, Tim Riley, had what?
Cat named Kalamazoo.
There's that line about, now it's going to bug me.
Now it's going to bug me. Now I can't remember.
I wonder if Kay Hitz has it. We'll have to go look. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Stillen. You look like you're feeling better.
I feel a lot better. I'm not 100%, probably like 70.
The secret cure is vodka.
Secret cure is vodka sodas.
And a night full of cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
Seriously. And no,
that makes everyone feel better.
Yeah, I couldn't even see in Outlaws. It was
God.
So smoky.
It was just... you just go home feeling like your voice, and my voice was already trashed because of Guns N' Roses on Monday. Not so much because I was like singing along, but because you're just shouting to be heard. Like, here's me to Chris Needed. Hey, these guys really suck! You know, just trying to raise my voice so I can tell Sneeden how bad the show is that we're at. Why am I here? This is a waste of my life and time! And then the last night at Outlaws, it was so... God damn, it was loud.
It was so loud.
It was so loud. And, of course,
so much eyeliner and hairspray.
Heaving cleavage behind, like, lace that is just, like... And you can hear the lace boosting is just screaming. Like, you know, trying to hold back the mountainous 80s bosoms. And I was sober, which doesn't help, because the problem with being sober at a venue like that is that... And I've talked about this before. There's a physiological thing that when you are drunk, it anesthetizes the cilia in your ear, which are the things that let you know that, hey, you're listening to this too loud, Jackson. But when you're sober, so when you're drunk, that's why nothing is ever too loud for drunk people. When you're drunk, man, turn it up as loud as it'll go and then some. When you're sober, that hurts a lot. And so it reached the pain threshold last night at the L.A. Gun Show where you can't even really hear the music. It's just a lot of... in your ears, and you're just, and I'm just, you know, yeah. I could feel my brains turning to mush, waiting for them to run up my nose. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, three are dead, thousands still without power, trees have fallen, Amtrak cancels flights. Pips, I should say, and plans to cancel FedEx as a merciless storm throttles the Northwest. A note left by the missing Mount Hood hikers is found, but they are not. Well, it's the... day we've been waiting for. It's the day Donald Rumsfeld says goodbye.
Aww.
And the president is happy for Mary Cheney and says she'll be a loving soul to her child. Even though it has two mommies. And no daddy.
We'll talk more about it. We'll talk more about all of this. Here's Rob with an answer on the... Hello, Rob.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
The cat had a shot of rye.
That's right. The something, something, Della had a fire in her ear. The dealer had a knife, and the dog had a gun, and the cat had a shot of rye.
Exactly.
Wow, wow, wow. That, exactly. Thank you, sir.
You betcha.
God bless you. There you go. That's from Della and the Dealer, which is really the only thing approaching a hit that Hoyt Axton ever had. Hoyt Axton's a guy who's funny, by the way. His name is funny. Hoyt is a funny first name, and Axton is great because it's got an X in it.
Yep.
That is, if Steve Allen were still alive... or perhaps just even like a zombie Steve Allen, he could tell us that Hoyt Axton is a funny name. Did you ever read Steve Allen's How to Be Funny?
No, I did not.
That's how Clyde, Clyde Lewis, Clyde is a funny man, and Clyde gives all credit for his comedy to Steve Allen. This is a true story. When Clyde Lewis We should get that book and go through it one of these days on the air. Because I've never actually read it, but I've heard so many guys reference it.
Steve Allen was hilarious during his time.
The guy before he became a dick.
Well, he got old.
Yeah. Before he became Scotty J.
Before he got like 10 necks.
10 necks, and he looked like an owl.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he looked like? Steve Allen looked like the owl in that... What is that? How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? One, two, three, three. He looked exactly like that owl. And then you're writing in the big waddle.
Yeah. And then he went out and hired these PR people who concocted all these outrageous lies like, Steve Allen has written 60,000 songs.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, fantastic. I just remember seeing him on television cut and go, telling
what filth.
Media has become a sewer. Television is just nothing but filth and debauchery. And then he was married to Edie Gourmet, right?
No, he was married to Jane Meadows.
No, that's Steve Lawrence.
Edie Gourmet.
All right. It's all very confusing.
Steve Lawrence and Steve and Edie.
All right. That's right. Okay, there you go. And they're both still alive.
They're both still alive.
Both still alive and sucking up to Frank Sinatra's corpse. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, so Clyde gives all full faith and credit, though, to that Steve Allen book for making him funny. Steve Allen wrote this book called How to Be Funny. And Steve Allen is the one, by the way, to the best of my knowledge, who first crystallized the fact that K-words are funny. Like crotch and cucamonga and so forth. And those words
are funny. Crotch isn't spelled with a K, right?
No, but it's a K.
A K sound.
In my world, it is. In my world, everything is all C words, so to speak, are spelled with the, it's like the Cleveland Clinic. They're all spelled with a K because the K makes it humorous and kosher. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. The Russ, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how you doing today? Long-time listener, long-time caller.
Okay.
Just so you know, Hoyt Axton is dead, and also he did have a number of hits. Well, he wrote songs for other people.
He wrote Joy to the World.
Joy to the World, and he wrote a song called Lion in the Winter that Linda Ronstadt did, and he actually had quite a pretty solid career as a songwriter as well.
No, and he was the dad in Gremlins who had the bathroom buddy.
That's right.
He's the guy who bought the Mogwai for what's-his-name, Zach Galligan, or whatever the hell that guy's name is, in Gremlins. The best Hoyt Axton song, I really had no idea we were going to be talking to Hoyt Axton a lot today. The best Hoyt Axton song ever, which I don't believe I have, is Jealous Man. Do you know the song Jealous Man?
Oh, man, I heard it.
Badass song. It is really, and you don't think of Hoyt Axton as being badass, because he's just a big Roy Clark-looking bastard, or was, probably thinner now. There you go. Thank you, Russ. Hoyt Axton, man, he wrote this song called Jealous Man. It's sort of this country blues song. It's genius. It really is flat-out genius. Really? Are these many people calling about Hoyt Axton? And is Bob Seger really coming to
this? This is totally unnecessary. Listen to this. A full-page ad.
For Bob Seger.
With a font straight out of the 1970s.
Oh, seriously?
That font is awesome.
The font hasn't changed.
He is coming here Saturday, February 17th to the Rose Garden.
On a motorcycle.
Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Really? Is there a lot of people clamoring for Bob Seger?
Night Moves? I can't wait to hear that song sung again.
Scotty J stepping in the screen. Bob Seger, fun show. Must go. All right, you have fun. Yeah, I can't wait to... Yeah, please, can you play Against the Wind for the 9,000th time? But I shouldn't be so cynical about it, but goddamn.
Watch, we'll end up sponsoring it better enough. We don't know... They're not indicating who the sponsors of this show are.
No, it's true. It really is true.
It'll be our first event of 2007.
You really never know. You never know what you're going to end up sponsoring. That really is true. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, Steve.
Yes.
Hoyt Axton's mother wrote Heartbreak Hotel for Elvis Presley, and also his really big, big song was Bony Finger.
Bony Fingers?
Yeah, fantastic song.
I don't remember that. I remember he wrote Greenback Dollar, though, didn't he?
For the Kingston Trio?
I think Hoyt Axton...
He might have been.
Jesus Christ, what century is this? Dude, I'm pretty sure... Really, I ought to just get this whole hour from an archive and sell this hour to KGON for like some Sunday night programming after that in the studio thing with Bob Coburn.
Well, you need to go to the Boneyard there and dig up this album and play a couple of the tunes because the guy's fantastic. Gave all of his money to his ex-wife and then died.
The end. God bless us, everyone.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. You need to go to the Boneyard. Yes, it's true. You need to go to the Boneyard and also insert other pun here. Also, you need to curse Aunt Jemima. It's too late. Rick, and this is the last email, and then we got a break because we're already behind, and I haven't even talked about Scotty J. Boy, you want to talk about Scotty J?
All right, let's hold it.
I'm just saying he had the worst night of his life.
I can't
and
wait.
And he'll
to
go
hear.
Back for more.
Oh, no, he never learns, too. You know what Scotty J is?
Is it like once a month that he kind of falls off the wagon?
I don't really know.
Only since he came to work here.
I know. I think the radio station's a bad excuse for young Scotty J.
Is this the thing where we're corrupting him with his first taste of fame?
No, he's corrupting him. We just give him the outlet.
It really is true. The worst thing we ever
did... He's the new Danny Bonaducci.
The worst thing that ever happened to Scotty J is that we put him in a position where people would give him drinks. I don't think he's ever on the wagon. I think he's sort of getting one foot into the stirrup, and then he's just... Then the next thing you know, he's back in the bar. And the guy's going, you got to move on.
Next, he'll be a guest speaker at the commencement activities at Mount Hood Community College. At the upcoming graduating class.
He'll be like that guy. He'll be next to the guy who plays guitar with his feet.
My name is Scotty J. And I would like to say, I am a cautionary tale. I once had it all. You're probably asking yourself, how did I end up here? I was once just like you. Beautiful wife, a house. It's amazing how fast it all slips away.
It all began with a tracheotomy.
I'm just going to read this one email and then we'll break. Rick, this email says... The man who knows what he's talking about, by the way. Rick, you are too 6 feet tall.
Love Rick.
Okay, we'll just go out on that tag because the rest of the email's not that funny. Back after this with Lisa Goddard. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay right there. That was weird. That was just sort of like one hit and we're done. Shortest bump ever. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Hey, there was a tree blocking First Avenue last night, by the way.
There was?
Yeah, down by the 7-Eleven? If you're heading down First past the old KOTK building toward the 7-Eleven, you know, it's like toward the Lair Hill Market, There's that place where it splits off and you can either go right onto 20, you know, head towards 26, or you can go left under the, and it'll take you to the rest of the bridge. And I was getting there and the traffic was all slow and there was a bus having to back up because a tree had fallen over and blocked the entire, like, all three lanes or whatever. It was a huge-ass tree. And there was a bus having to back, a TriMet bus, having to back up and do a U-turn. But like a reverse U-turn. It was having to back up to do the U-turn. It was the freakiest thing.
That sucks.
Rick, Hoyt Axton performed at the Clark County Fair many years ago. Unlike many artists who waste a lot of time with BS, he sang the whole time. It was a great show. Yes, he was fat. And by the end of the show, he was sweating like a whore in the front row at church. Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. Speaking of Lisa, we'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Here are just a few. And then we'll have to bring in... Can I just tell you what
I... Yeah,
I
haven't heard this whole story. I just see how...
this unpleasant bathroom experience. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm just...
I thought it was like, what's Scotty J? And you said you had an unpleasant bathroom experience.
Yeah.
Why are you smelling your hands?
What's funny...
Did you use the spray instead of the...
That's what I'm saying. Let's clarify this right now. Here's why I am... I'm going to say this for Lisa. It gets put on hold. Here's why I'm smelling my hands after using the bathroom. It is not for the same reason that, like, maybe your retarded cousin Larry does it or something. I went into the bathroom. We are germphobes here because radio stations are the third most germ-laden workplace in America. That is a scientific fact. As established, the first is Alaskan fishing boat, second police station, third radio station. So we are big germphobes here. And as
what about
a result,
a hospital?
But that's the thing. Hospitals, I think, it's sort of a paradox because they're... total freaks for cleanliness. And so you've got a few small pockets that are sort of quarantined off, but the rest of the hospital, I mean, because everything is just, that's what that hospital smell is. It's antiseptic. And they're total freaks for like that Purell hand sanitizer, and so are we.
As are we.
We love that stuff. And so the soap water and then the Purell. And the thing is, if there's in a pinch, though, if you don't have time, I use the Purell, not the soap and water, because Purell is actually this. And I learned this from Lara. Her whole thing was, she says at the hospital, they tell you to wash your hands, soap and water, then use the instant hand sanitizer. But if you don't have time to do that, if you can only use one, use the hand sanitizer instead of soap and water. If you only have time to use one. So I always assume that that's the best. So we always, and I buy it, by the way, attention CBS Radio, I buy that out of my own pocket. Rick Emerson purchases that himself. Does he ask for financial remuneration? No, he does not. Because he cares about the health of his fellow employees and doesn't want their hands to be covered with goo. And so
you covered yourself in body spray because you ran out of the Purell.
Well, I didn't know what it was. I go because our Purell was
it
running out.
Body fantasies, body spray. And it has a bunch of, like, twinkly stars and flowers all over it.
I didn't see that part because it was turned around sideways. I was rushing. I'm like, well, I know we have to get to Lisa here, but I was rushing. So I'm in the bathroom. Do what you got to do. It's finished. You know, whatever. And I do both. I water the hands. You wash the hands. Dry them off. And I'm like, I better get the hand goo. And I know that our Purell had been running out, and so, you know, I figured, hey, I looked down and I saw a blue bottle next to it. And it's not where you would figure like a perfumey thing would be. It's right next to the sink where the hand sanitizer always is. And I thought, how great is that? Somebody else chipped in. Finally, Rick Emerson doesn't carry the load alone. No. So I reached and grab it onto my hand, and now... And what is... It's like a body spray?
You smell all fruity.
I smell like a pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty, come here and smell my fingers. They smell like pineapple. So if I smell like some sort of... I smell like a Bath & Body Works gift basket. Let's thank you. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. This whole program is so horrifying sometimes. CNN radio correspondent from the Hill, who naturally smells of sweet goodness and intelligence, Lisa Goddard. Hello.
Hi. I'm not sure what I smell like. I don't know.
I smell of some kind of, it's like a papaya banana coconut thing. And then just that weird hint of petrochemical scent that all of that body spray kind of has on it.
Wow, that is really creepy. You're like some kind of sexually confused serial killer.
I'm going to make that my new positioning statement. I'm going to get the marketing department on that. That's much better than he's an edgy Gen X motor mouth. So, which, by the way, is how they have described me for many, many years, despite my protests. All right, he's like a... I'm going to write this down. He's like a creepy, sexually confused serial killer. Weekdays 11 to 3. Fantastic. Well done. You've got a shrewd head for marketing, Lisa.
He's an audience, too. He needs a leader, too.
it's they, too, have needs.
That's right.
Oh, man. Let's talk real briefly about this, about Senator Tim Johnson. So let me ask you this, because you're a woman who's in the know about such things. This is the senator from South Dakota.
Right.
And he had the brain bleeding and so forth, and he was incapacitated. And I have gotten about 500 different answers to this, and I've heard about that many responses by the various talking heads.
100 answers.
Yeah. No, well, people want to chip in. They're just not always right about things. They have learned from me that you just say it confidently and people will believe it, even if it's just made up. And so my question is, is he going to, how do I put this? Under what circumstances does he stay in the seat, you know, in the Senate seat, and under what circumstances doesn't he? And I don't mean to sound morbid, but go ahead.
I can make this definitive.
Okay.
He loses a seat if he dies or resigns.
So what if he, and again, I mean, this sounds like I'm dwelling on the dark side of things, but if he is just sort of incapacitated to some degree, is that he still stays?
If he wants to stay, yes. They cannot force him out for health reasons. There's no provision. The only, if it came to some sort of, there was a national will or some movement out of South Dakota saying we need someone to represent us, maybe they could lobby for a constitutional amendment, but then the House, the Senate, and every state, well, I guess three-quarters, I think, of the states in the country would have to support that. So that really would be it. Otherwise, you cannot force. You would need to change the Constitution, add something in there, because there is nothing that would be able to force a senator out of office for health reasons.
So you really would have to be, it would come to the point that you'd have to be getting 38 states on board for one guy, to get one guy out of his job, which would
be... Yeah, something like that. I mean, it's just, it'd be ridiculous. And then you'd get into a wording issue about what exactly you were saying and how you were changing it. I mean, just to say how extreme you'd have to go to absolutely force him out. And I think, did we talk yesterday about Carl Mundt?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, well, he's the guy. He is having a renaissance, Carl Mundt, 1969, senator from South Dakota. And he had a stroke, was incapacitated, really not able to do anything, had a long rehabilitation, ultimately died. And he stayed in office for 3 years. Till the next election, without leaving. And he never came to Washington, never voted, but his wife refused to resign his seat on his behalf. So he kept the seat. He never voted.
So this is sort of like a Mr. Smith goes to the old folks' home and just stays there. Strom Thurmond was in and out of he was in the hospital for the last X months / years of his term, if I remember correctly.
Right, yeah, we talked about that. And essentially his office was being run by his staff, who were the stewards. in his stead. And he physically did come down to the Senate floor to vote at times, but otherwise, really, I worked in South Carolina then, and everybody knew that his whole office was really being run by everyone else. But he still was able to hold a conversation, but, decreasingly so.
Let me ask you this. How do I put this? You said that it was sort of an open secret, as they say in the showbiz world, that Thurman was really kind of out of the picture and his staff was running it. Is that true of other senators right now, where it's sort of known that they're not really with the hand on the tiller? You can tell me.
I don't know of any that's the case at all.
All right.
No.
Well.
And senators, I don't know of any that's the case. I think there are a couple who are known, who are obviously getting older, but they are in very powerful positions. And the truth is that their minds are still very good. I'd say in better shape than Thurman's was when he left. You think of Robert Byrd of West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
He shakes with age when he's on the floor, and he's probably not as speedy as he was when he was a senator and also going to law school at night. But he still really has incredible power of intelligence. And I'd say same for Pete Domenici and a couple others in there that are getting older, but they're still making the decisions.
No, it's true, and people, it is it is one of those things, the judgments that we make sometimes. I mean, not to get all bogged down in side stories, but I went to I was in Provo a couple weeks ago to visit my in-laws and my father-in-law. Bad scene, had a stroke, blah blah blah, and he's in a hospital bed right now. And it takes like, and he's a big guy, and he was in a wheelchair. It takes like 15 people to get that guy to the bathroom, and he doesn't really seem like he has it together until like he wheeled out a chessboard that he put, and he just beat my ass like 4 times in a row. And I'm a fairly decent chess player, and the guy crushed me. And it is sort of impressive and a little humbling that you gotta not judge those guys by that. And the thing about this Tim Johnson thing is that you could not, again, I don't mean to be diminishing the actual importance of this, and obviously his family, the thoughts go out to them and all of that, but it is just, you could not have scripted something that is just so unbelievably dramatic. First of all, that it came down to this, for the longest time, it was that 49-49 split, who knew, this power, control of the Senate was up for grabs. Now, the fact that now that the Democrats take control and then immediately this happens and it looks for a moment like it's on the table again, it really is like some Aaron Sorkin fever dream kind of come to life. So,
I do have one political scenario that I don't think has happened yet, but probably will, because for some reason this last 20 years is just filled with craziness, is what if the president-elect were killed before the Electoral College met?
You're talking about if after the election, but the inauguration, if the president-elect was killed.
Well, even before that, technically it's the electors that decide the president. And so, we had that whole Catherine Harris, everybody swore in, and everyone was watching to see if any electors were going to change their votes in Bush Gore in 2000. And I think that's in December. In that first couple of weeks of December, they meet around the Electoral College around the country. Now, what if right after the election, but before that, your presidential winner was killed, and those electors would then still be deciding the presidency?
Well, Lisa Goddard,
I'm just putting that out there. Actually a book.
Jeff Greenfield.
Book. Yeah.
Jeff Greenfield wrote a novel called The People's Choice about that.
There we go.
And so I don't know if you were. I mean, I don't know if you've read it or if you. A couple years ago, in fact,
not the one that I've read, but I feel bad. My CNN guy.
And I'm a huge fan of that guy. We're just degenerating into such political wankdom right here. But this was even before the 2000 election snafu, because I remember reading that book in about 97. And there's a novel by CNN, the political correspondent. I don't know if he still is, but Jeff Greenfield, it's a novel called The People's Choice, and what happens is the president-elect is killed in, he has a horse-riding accident, there's a blood clot that is dislodged, and he dies.
That book. Are you sure Jeff Greenfield wrote that?
Yes, I am.
Huh.
I am. I would stake my reputation on that.
Okay.
Because and here's why. Because in the 2000 election, when there was this all of this chaos, and I mean, we all remember, we lived through that. I watched him on, Jeff Green and his famous dry erase board on CNN tracking the election, and he found about 9,000 opportunities to mention. Well, as I wrote in my book, The People's Choice, many years ago. So I would strongly encourage you to read the piece. It's a great novel, and it's a great political novel on top of that.
Outstanding.
And it addresses a lot of the issues you're talking about. Final note, and we're already so vastly over time. I feel bad for other stations that I undoubtedly just eat into your time.
It's all good. No, it's okay.
All right.
Got it. We got the time. We're good.
Well, today, so this is Rumsfeld. What, this was his final, where they give him a paper hat and a cake and then kick him out the door, right? This is his final,
Toodaloo.
Exit is today.
And here, I can play you a good little cut. This was Vice President Dick Cheney before the president spoke and before Rumsfeld. So here's Cheney.
All right.
I believe the record speaks for itself. Don Rumsfeld is the finest Secretary of Defense this nation has ever had.
So there we go, standing by his man for sure. I think the message here was sort of, even though politically he had to go, the truth is we just love him. We love him. Yeah. And he actually did get emotional. I've got a cut of him kind of breaking up, talking about the troops. And it was a lot of pomp and circumstance, but it really was, a praise fest of Rumsfeld. And, you know, it's a very different on the Pentagon grounds than, you know, say in maybe some cities of opposition, perhaps San Francisco, where you would hear a lot of other opinions about Don Rumsfeld.
I was just going to say that.
One side of the story.
One observation, one brief question before we wrap this up, and you just prompted this, actually. I'm, as you know, a big fan of tracking talking points and slogans and positioning statements.
That's a way forward story for you, yeah.
That's exactly the way forward. This is another phrase that my news director, Tim Riley, and I have noticed, is the phrase San Francisco values, which is a thing that I hear coming out of a lot of right-wingers lately, a lot of pundits and a lot of Sean Hannity types. And it's one of those phrases that, you know, that they don't really ever define, but it's sort of everyone kind of knows what they mean by that. And they say, well, a lot of these people with their San Francisco values, which seems to have usurped New York values, which I heard for a long time.
Hey, you know what? That's true. I think that's right.
And my final note on this is just because
they're so mad about the 70s. I think that's what's going on. There's a lot of anger in that conservative cluster about 1968, 69, and forward.
Well, you know that's where so much of the hatred for Bill and Hillary Clinton stemmed from. Even initially, is the Republicans still just seethe with anger about, you know, about long-haired, scraggly, unwashed hippies marching on Washington. You know that,
there were definitely pros and cons to that whole thing. You know, I mean, the military really the troops were really hurt by. Those protests, you know, I mean, the way we treat war is different now, you know, like my dad had blood thrown at him, you know, not that kind of stuff, I think is what, they don't miss the greater pro-peace, like, movement, it was a generally positive thing they were going for. They see it as like a hateful, whirling, dervish, druggy culture.
Points for using the word dervish, by the way.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, does anybody ever use the word dervish not preceded by the word whirling?
I bet they don't, but I'm going to make that my business.
Make it your goal. And my final note, because we've just spun completely off the tracks here, is just to say this, that whatever one wants to say about Donald Rumsfeld, and I personally, you know, it's no secret, I'm a big bleeding heart, and most of my friends are, you know, kind of on that same page, and so I know a lot of them are doing little victory dances about Donald Rumsfeld, being on his way out, or going out today, but I gotta tell you this, whatever one thinks of Rumsfeld, you gotta admit that guy he is a true believer, and that guy... I mean, he's an absolute warrior in every way, to his core, in terms of doing his job, and in terms of executing the duties he believes have been handed him. And I got to tell you, man, if I had a company and I had to get a guy to run a company and vanquish my enemies, it would be, you know, with extreme prejudice, it'd be that guy. I'd hire him tomorrow.
I think that's why the military really is giving him such a send out, because that's what they see as well.
Yeah, that guy, he gave no quarter and expected no quarter, as they said of Nixon years ago. So, all right, Lisa Goddard, enjoy your weekend. As always, thank you for tolerating my juvenile foolishness, and we will speak to you in the immediate future, I am sure.
Excellent.
Thank you, Lisa Goddard. There you go. And check out The People's Choice by Jeff Greenfield. All right, there you go. That's Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Fantastic. Able to send her away with a literary recommendation. It's a good day, Sarah Dillon.
I can't wait. Shall we bring in Scotty J?
Let's see what Peter has to say, and then, yes, Peter, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
I have a proposition for you.
Uh-huh.
I am a professional house cleaner, and I would be willing to come in and completely clean and sanitize and air freshen the entire studio.
This is the entire radio studio here, just because we're such germ phobes?
Yes, I will disinfect and clean and freshify the entire building. But I am a musician by night, and I was wondering if I could do a plug for the band in exchange for a.
I'm not sure that we're actually allowed to do that. I'm sure that's. I think that's one of those things that CBS would
but
probably.
Sir. Feel free to plug your band, though.
Would probably tell us. Yeah, that's the irony of it. The irony is that I think we can allow you to plug your band just like for free, but I think we can, I think we're not allowed to let you plug the band and then have you come do anything nice for us. I think that's the sort of thing they come and they beat our ass for that. Okay. When's your band playing?
We actually don't have anything scheduled because we're going into the studio early next month.
Is this real going into the studio, or is this the fictitious kind that you say in the ad when you're looking for a guitarist? And you say, band with live gigs and record contract.
No, this is a
just
big
never
time,
true.
This is a big time, big boy recording studio going in and releasing our first big boy full-length album.
What's your band's name, sir?
Our band's name is Nickel Arcade.
Wait, you guys were at the Hawthorne Theater the other night.
Yes, we were.
See, tell me I'm not plugged into the local scene.
We play with a band called Flies That Fight and a band called Alter Ego.
Okay.
All right, fantastic. And do you have a website, sir?
We do. It is Nickel Arcade, as in the band, sucks, S-U-C-K-S, .com.
Excellent. Well done. All right. Well, good luck on the recording, and I don't know, keep us in the loop, my friend. But thank you. Thank you for the kind offer.
Of
cleaning the studio. Do me a favor, you get a chance, drop me an email, and I don't know, we might be able to squeeze some radio wackiness out of there. I just got to figure, CBS, not just to be fair, it's not just CBS. Media companies in general, there's a whole lot of hoops you got to jump through before anybody can, like, give you anything, so.
Well, no problem, and, thank you guys.
All right.
And, I absolutely love the show. Gets me through my awful house cleaning days.
Thank you, Peter.
Yep,
all right,
bye.
There you go, that's it, Peter. Well, we probably don't have time to talk to Scotty right now, because we got
to
get
to
the...
I am dying to find out what happened to him last night.
He's typing in the screen, no, please don't ask me to talk.
Well, then we almost have to bring him in for like a minute.
All right.
We can spare a minute.
And now, and we can do a second half.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
Thank you so much.
Is that a mesh shirt?
Are you wearing another see-through shirt, for the love of God?
I can see his nipples.
Hello.
Don't say hello in a sexy voice after she says you can see your nipples.
Scotty, is that a mesh shirt?
Hold on. I'll bite the bullet here. Hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hold on.
It is not.
It's not.
It's kind of holy, though.
100% cotton.
No, it's deceptive. The little mesh holes are filled with little white cotton. No, it's true.
Oh,
it looks like a mesh shirt, but it's not.
The parts look like skin or actual cotton.
It is a little tight, though.
Do you ever open up the drawer, and that's the first shirt, and you just grab it?
I think
you've grabbed it.
Are you sure that's your drawer, not like your son's drawer? That shirt's a little snug.
That shirt is very snug.
Well, I've been working out, so that's the deal.
It's just sad.
Okay. How you feeling?
Well,
does it hurt when I do this?
I gotta be honest.
Yes. How does this feel?
That's the worst. All I can say is that there's a new term that can go up on your website of all your little terminologies.
Which is?
It's called being Williamed.
Williamed?
Yes.
How are you Williamed?
Williamed hung. William hung. That's today.
I don't understand.
There's only like one guy out there that realizes what I'm saying, but William hung. That's all I can say.
Is this a sexual reference?
No. No. Just like not feeling good, you know, after a night.
Is it from your bad karaokeing?
I didn't karaoke last night, but I saw people.
But you don't remember. The last thing you remember is maybe going to the karaoke place.
So this is, see, now the things, now we don't have time to talk about it. But you, okay, so, I don't know, 1 o'clock. One o'clock, we're going to talk to you about this. No, we have to. Well, we have to get to the news hour. So 1 o'clock, though, we're going to talk to you, because we were at the L.A. Guns show last night at Outlaws, which went well for some of us, not for others. Isn't that right, Scotty?
Scotty's been half the night saying that I'd feel a lot better if I just take a shot. And I did not.
Dude, and he was full on. You were wobbling when you came in the studio just now.
I was.
Wobbling, like when you opened it. It wasn't wobbling, but just now when you came in the studio, it was that thing where like you push the door open and you come in and it's like the pushing the door has exerted so much of your life force.
Well, like
your energy bars are down to red.
I knew you were going to talk to me, and that took a lot of energy, too. So.
Fantastic. How much did you drink last night? When did you stop drinking? When did you have the last drink?
That's a good question.
Do you even remember?
I'm going to imagine somewhere around.
I'm going to make up. I'm going to fabricate an answer out of my ass.
Somewhere around 1.
That's a lie. You were drinking past 1
o'clock.
Do we
need to call Mrs. J and ask her how you got home?
I got home around 2.
I left at like 12:30, and you showed no signs of getting ready to leave or go anywhere. How did you get home?
Taxi, for sure.
Now, is it not, this is one thing I have to say, is it not true that you left your car in a space where they start towing at 7 a.m.?
Right, and I had to go get it this morning. I'm like, ugh.
And this was after you locked your key inside of the car.
I had to go get my car, and then I had to come to the Rick Emerson show, and it's just hard.
Wow. Now, you got your car this morning at what time?
I think right around, we had to be pushing 10.
Well, and you,
normally,
why was it still there?
Normally, I'm here by then.
Why was it still there?
You didn't even get a ticket or anything?
No, thank goodness.
Oh,
well,
that's not right.
3 hours? That's lucky.
Yeah, it's like a couple blocks.
In a tow-away zone, and you didn't even get a ticket. Oh,
no,
you are a lucky bastard.
Lucky guy.
Oh, all right. So, well, we'll find out more, but we'll talk more about the LA Gun Show on the 1 o'clock hour. Let's take a break here. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth with the Noon News Hour. Don't go anywhere. We return after this. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Jim Roop also coming up. Plus Ed McCarthy will give us the update on the guys on Mount Hood and Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Stay there.